want to read a passage of scriptures from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The last couple of weeks, first we had the elders retreat, and yesterday we had an elders and deacons retreat. And we've been looking at these passages that we brought to the elders retreat, and I want to present to you today the one that Lee brought. Last week at the communion time, Bob presented something that he brought to us and presented to you last week about how what God requires of us is to simply believe in the one he sent. The week before, the 2 Thessalonians 3:5, asking God to direct us into the love of God and Christ's perseverance is what I brought. Lee brought the 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12, which I'll read to you today. And next week, JJ will be presenting to you something from John 15. And they're the four passages we've been focusing on over the last few weeks. And so, 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12 reads this way. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul started with this in mind, this passage. With this in mind, well, we have to ask, don't we, with what in mind? And to discover that, we have to go back to the first 10 verses where Paul talks about the Thessalonians. He speaks of their obvious faith. Faith that was obvious because they were persevering through much hardship, persevering through trials. Persevering, even though there were people there trying to make it hard for them to carry on in their faith. It was obvious that they were faithful because of their situation. They endured hardship. But they kept their focus on Jesus. Paul talks about the blessings that they have. First, the blessing of grace. Remember, grace is a gift of God that comes to you even though you don't deserve it. And the focus here is the grace, the gift of God, the Father, and the Son. Both the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of grace that comes to us. And peace, a freedom to come into relationship with God. And Jesus Christ, our Lord. These are the blessings which we have been given already. They're remarkable blessings. And if we truly understood, I don't think we'd be asking for any other blessings. These are the greatest. See, they brought us into a relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus. Grace and peace comes through the Father and the Son. And the Thessalonians were holding on to this truth, even though they were suffering, even though they were finding things hard. I want you to think about how would others see your faith? How would people see your faith? It's not about just being nice. It's not even about just doing the right thing. It's not about just reading the Bible or in prayer life or your family history. It was just what Bob brought to us last week, John 6, 28 and 29. They asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? How do people see our faith? Jesus says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Believe in the one he has sent. Our struggle is to believe. Our battle is to believe. Particularly when things aren't going the way we hope. The Thessalonians were being actively persecuted. Perhaps you've known what persecution is about. In some ways, if there's someone actively trying to work against you, hope you don't know what it's like. We don't experience it much in Sydney today. Other believers in the rest of the world do. But we can thank God that we don't experience this sort of persecution, but we still struggle to believe Jesus. We still struggle, we still fight, have to fight, to hold on to the one that God sent. We have to struggle to believe that God is a good God, even though things aren't going the way that I wanted. Or He hasn't answered my prayer. It's a reasonable prayer, it's a good prayer. He's not answered my prayer the way I wanted. The question we often comes to mind is He a good God? Is He a faithful God? We struggle to believe that Jesus is the Lord. We struggle to believe Jesus is the Lord over all things. When we see things like we've seen happen in the world just this week, is Jesus truly the Lord over all things? It's not easy, this life of faith. And I wonder what it might be that is evident to those around you. Don't point to this and say you are a person of faith. What would it take for you? What would it take for you to abandon your faith? The Thessalonians were focused on Jesus, not their persecutors. And Paul tells them to focus on God. God is just, he says. He will repay back evil. You don't have to worry about that. Don't worry that the people are persecuting you. Trust God. He will repay, and it's a terrible judgment for anyone who rejects God. Everlasting destruction. They're going to be shut out from the presence of the Lord. It's remarkable, isn't it, to think that today people are experiencing something of the good of God, whether they recognise Him or not. They are experiencing good in the world because God. Imagine that was turned off. That was shut off from that. And there's an eternal punishment. That's why the spread of the gospel is so important. People need to know they have an escape from a judgment to come. That salvation is open to them. And Paul tells these believers to leave all these ideas of getting even with those people who are persecuting you and trust God. It doesn't mean they won't be coming and abusing them that night. It doesn't mean that the troubles are gone. But they are putting their trust in the one who is above all and can do all things. So that's what Paul has when he says, with this in mind. But there's even more. He talks about these Thessalonians. He says, the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. So they have faith and they have increasing love. And it's good you are here today. Paul is talking to believers in a church setting just like this, gathered people around. And where else can your love for believers be experienced or grow than if you're with the people of God? If you chose to stay at home today, there is no opportunity to show your love for the people of God. The church community. It's hard to love them when you're at home by yourself. So it's good you are here. And these two things, faith and love growing, which is what Paul says in verse 5, chapter 1, all this, all faith and love is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Because God wants a people to declare His glory. We've been singing about that, how the heavens declare, all creation bow down, but we too declare the glory of God. We are to be His children who reflect something of God. We are to be people who are founded on this sacrifice, which we remember each week. Because of this sacrifice, we can go out. We can be sent out into the world. Faith and love. And if you're not a part of the church, the visible church seeking to bring glory to God, then you are robbing the world of an opportunity to see the glory of God. You're robbing the world an opportunity to see the glory of God. I think it's plain disobedience for people who say, well, I'm not going to be connected to a church. I think it's plain disobedience. And when God weighs our life in the scales, now I'm not talking about salvation, because there's no scales of salvation. We are through the gift of God. But there will be a judgment day for each one of us, the Bible seems to suggest. And what we want to do is for God to say, you know what, that person's life, that believer's life, is just what I wanted a believer, a child of mine, to live. They may have had struggles, it may have been hard, but they kept on with their faith and their love. That's exactly what I would see is worthy of being in part of the kingdom. Sure, there's difficulties, but God wants people just like that. And that's what we're called to do. Think of God boasting about Job. There's no one greater in the whole world, no one who loves me. God wants to do that for each one of us. Have you seen my servant? The good news is that you can't do it. That's the good news, okay? You can't do it. But God can do it in us. God provides all we need, His Spirit. He provides the body of Christ, the church, the Word of God. God provides all that you need to be considered, judged worthy of being a child of God at the end. And so that's what Paul is talking about. He said these four words, with this in mind. So with this in mind, let's read that verse again, verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God will count you worthy because we are called by God. So that doesn't stop Paul praying that we might be considered worthy of such a calling, because it's all about what God is doing in us. His power, it's his initiative. There's no accident that we've been brought to Christ. The opportunity to hear him, to respond to him, was a gift of God itself. He gets the credit for what's happening. According to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, according to what they've all done, they've given, all the glory goes to him. So why did Paul pray such a thing? So that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. So that when someone sees something of the glory of Jesus in you, that glory is credited to God. When God sees something in you, when people see something in you that has to be God at work, the glory goes to God. But it also says, not only that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, but you in him. How does that work? How are you glorified in him? Well, it has to be as a part of his church, the body of Christ. So when the body of Christ, when Jesus is revealed and all the glory goes to him, do you know who's in the body of Christ? We are. So we will be glorified in him. So here on earth, before the final judgment day, people look at you and say, look, there's something about that person that is godly, that is Christ-like, the glory goes to him. And on the final day, when Jesus is glorified by all of creation, all peoples will declare the glory of Jesus, their word will be in the body of Christ. Verse 12 tells us how it happened, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus. So it starts with God's grace and ends with God's grace. So Paul wants them, and he wants us, to live lives worthy of being called a child of God. That means we live lives consistent with being children of God. We show the characteristics of God. That means we hold on to him and we grow in our faith. And we grow in our love for one another. These are not separate things. We have been given grace through the sacrifice of Jesus to achieve this. And we're given the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the community of God to get to the end. And with that focus, let's just turn our minds on the sacrifice of Jesus in the bread and wine. Let's pray.